Yesterday at the meeting, Shannon Frith was there. Shannon's about Sarah's age. And I've known Shannon since he was a little boy. And when he was about 14, I taught in the church in Selma, Alabama. I taught the book of Romans. I don't know how long it took. Quite a while. Somewhere in there along about the end of Romans chapter 10, I decided to give everybody a quiz. So I asked 15 or 18 or 20 questions. The only one that got them all right was Shannon. He's 14. The adults in there didn't know doodlum. It's pathetic. First one I asked was, who wrote Romans? Somebody got it wrong. Got to be kidding me. You see, here's the thing. If you don't get Romans to Philemon into your mind, you're not going to know what Paul said. And if you don't know what Paul said, you're not going to understand some things. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Well, you have no reason to back away from that. Expect the Lord to make things known to you if you will consider what Paul said. Expect it. You're not naming it and claiming it. You're believing what the verse says. The Lord give the understanding in all things on the basis of what Paul said, then read what Paul said, for crying out loud. Over and over and over again. When I told Brother Moore I was going to go down and preach at Selma 2-3 years before they actually called me to be their pastor, I told him I was going to go down and take Brother Jordan's place. I said, you got any advice? He said, yeah. He said, you know what you're going to preach on? I said, no. He said, whatever your subject is, read 1 and 2 Timothy just as many times as you possibly can between now and then. I said, okay. I have no idea what I preached on. But I think that I read 1 and 2 Timothy each about 6 times between then and when I went. And I was amazed at what I saw. Every time I read 1 and 2 Timothy, I learned something new. And I know that sometimes when I say things like that, you don't think that would be true of you. Yes, it would. Dusty Rhodes told me one time, he said, read the book of Ephesians with no notes, no center reference, no side notes, none of your own writings, none of anybody else's writing. Just read Ephesians. I said, okay. And I got a Gideon Bible that had no notes, no center reference, no nothing in it. And I read the book of Ephesians. And I found it absolutely fascinating what I saw that I hadn't seen in there before. So I read it again and again and again. And when I read it about the 4th time, I decided, I went into the office and I was going to do that. So I'm going to do this again. I'm going to read it again. Because every time I was learning something, every time. So this time when I went in there, I read chapter 6, chapter 5, chapter 4, chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 1. I was amazed at what I saw. You think I don't know what I'm talking about. You think I'm just being grandiose about that. Folks, give the Word of God a try. Read it. You say, well, I can't read real well. Stand up and read it out loud. You'll read amazingly well. It will take a long time. You've got a long time. You've got the same amount of time everybody else does. There isn't any reason for you to back off from time. It's going to be gone anyway, this time you've got. You might as well put the Word of God in your mind for it. Romans to Philemon. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in how many things? All things are not found in Romans to Philemon. All things are made clear by Romans to Philemon. In chapter 3. Instead of reading Romans to Philemon and considering what Paul says so that you understand all things, most people fall into this category. Chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I could write a book, half a page each, about the number of people in the last 34 years that have come to Bible classes that I've taught, and they're like that. They learn and learn and learn, and they don't get it. They don't see it all. They're unable to. They're lost and they're unable to. Or they're saved and their mind stays muddled. Or something happens. I don't know what happens to them. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I usually don't accuse people of being lost that tell me they're saved. But I don't know what else the problem is. If you said to them, cut this potato in fourths. I bet they could. You say, rightly divide the word of truth. They can't. How many kitchen lessons did you have to cut a potato in fourths? 1. How many times you been to Bible class? 741. Folks, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth is a problem in the religious world. It's what religion is made of. It's how come there is. I heard a guy some ridiculous hour this morning on the radio say that there were over 2,000 religions. Now, doesn't surprise me. Tom Grotenrath told me California had 2,000 about 15 years ago. Well, and I don't doubt that either. Well, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth never did stop anybody from starting a religion. Start it up. Somebody will show up. You know, it's like people have some weird belief. They want to say, you know, don't you think this is right? And I'll say no. And they say, well, I believe it. And I say, well, if you keep hunting around, you'll find somebody that agrees with you. And you will. People will believe anything. Except maybe that I can play the piano. Probably would nobody believe that. Pigs fly, and we had the swine flu, right? Pigs fly. Folks, he says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth in a very condemning way here. If you're going to consider what Paul says and you expect the Lord to help you to see and understand all things because you consider what Paul says, then stop with the ever learning and never able to come to the truth and accept something. You know, the man that I remember the most about ever learning and never able to come to the truth, his problem was he wouldn't accept something. He would accept a premise of the scripture when he was sitting in front of me or with me when we were having a discussion. He would accept that premise that he was seeing, and then he would go talk to somebody who was contrary to that premise and say, see, I don't think that, maybe that's not, it's not, maybe, I just don't think you can believe that. And he would walk away from that which was clear as a bell. Why? Because he was ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, here's the thing. If I ask that man today, point blank, let's take somebody to get saved today, I don't know what he would say. I know that when I taught him the gospel of Christ and when he heard Brother Moore preach that he trusted Christ as his Savior. We're driving back from Brother Moore's church one night he and I sat there and discussed the gospel. It's simple. Quit arguing with it. Quit fighting with it. Just simply trust Christ. He claimed that he did. Somewhere in the neighborhood of about 12 years ago, I was talking to him on the phone and he was telling me it's something that he's doing ministry-wise. And I said, well, what do you show him for salvation? He says, well, we show him Jesus. I said, what do you show him about Jesus? He says, well, we show him that he loved him. And I waited. And I waited. He never had it. It was like, am I hearing this right? This man doesn't know the gospel that saved him? Did he not even cling to that truth? Finally, he says, we show him Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. And we show him that if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved. Whew. I hope somebody's getting saved. I don't know if they are or not. I mean, it was like wishy-washy stuff coming out of this man's mouth. I want to slap him. It's hard to slap people when you're talking on the phone. Didn't do any good at all. But look at the premise with which he forgot. Why would he forget? Because he went where other people said other things. That's why he forgot. So, well, do you think he really got... You know, you can run yourself nuts trying to figure out whether or not other people are saved. Don't do that. Say, well... Driving along in that car now, you think you really got saved over there? I have the foggiest idea. I don't recommend that you worry too much about someone else's salvation unless you're going to marry them. I think some of you in here are already married, so you don't have to worry about that. But people do this all the time. They take a subject matter and they learn it 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 and they're never able to use it. They're never able to talk about it. They're never able to allow that knowledge to reverse and come back out of them. Why? Is it because they just simply are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Or do they have the knowledge of the truth and it gets hidden by some other knowledge that they gathered in? What is it? Well, I would suggest to you that they don't obey the first verse 7 we read and the second verse 7 we read. They forget that they have nothing to fear. They've not been given the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. And the second verse 7 we read is simple. The second verse 7 we read doesn't even require your use of the whole Bible. Boy, be careful how you say I said that. Romans through Philemon is what you're supposed to consider in order to understand the rest of the Bible. I really recommend 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. And I recommend them as light reading. And they are light reading. Read a story and quit. Read the story of how David was chosen over his brethren and quit. Go back to it next week. Read the story of Elijah and the chariot of fire and quit. Go back to it next week. But when you read Romans to Philemon, you will begin to find applications of spiritual thoughts that come to you from the things you read in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. Read Romans to Philemon all the time. All the time. That's what Paul said. Then you can consider all the things that are said in the Scripture and you'll understand them. Now all this is predicated upon the belief that you did indeed trust Christ as your Savior. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, it's not likely you'll understand very much of anything. But if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then obey these verse 7s. God's not given you the spirit of fear. If you have a spirit of fear, it came from someone else other than God. He's given you the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. And when you have a mind as loosely hinged as mine, you thank God for that sound mind. Because that's a gift. And you must consider what Paul says. Or else you're going to wind up in the third verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, since we've done this, we might as well look at the fourth one. Chapter 4, verse 7. As Paul knows he's going to die at any given moment, he writes, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The course is about 35 years long, minus about 20 some years. The course that he's referring to there in the context is to preach, speak, make known, unveil the gospel of the grace of God. Paul began to preach the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 9, made some Grecians mad. He did it again in Acts chapter 11 and taught Grecians and spent a year with them and they learned the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 13, he went to a different area, preached, and started going on to some other towns. When he would get thrown out of one, he'd go to the other one. And in those two chapters, he preached the gospel of Christ as the power of God unto salvation without regard, but to the Jew first. Without regard to who he was preaching to, but he went to the Jew first. And in those two chapters, at the end of chapter 14, it says that he finished the work. He and Barnabas finished the work. You make of that whatever you want to make of that. That's just what it says. In Acts chapter 15, he went to Jerusalem and settled the issue that he was not going to follow their lead. He was going to do what the Lord called him to do. And then from Acts chapter 16 to Acts chapter 20 is when he wrote the six first books that he wrote. And it's in Acts chapter 20 that he said, about trouble being in his life, he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said that in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Then he goes to Jerusalem, gets thrown in jail. All of that stuff takes place. And then in Acts chapter 28, sitting in prison for the first 2 years, probably got out for a short period of time, then was put back in prison. But in Acts chapter 28, he was in there for 2 years, and he began to write what would finish his course. He began to write those last seven books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. When he did that, he said all that the Lord wanted him to say. And here in this last book that he wrote, just before he dies, ever how he dies, the verse 7s of each chapter tell you what it was worth. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Don't be like the guys, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he says here, I'm done. In chapter 4, verse 7, he said, I'm finished. I'm done. I'm fixing to die. Now, he did say one other thing in chapter 4 that's very pertinent to what you have through the manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ used the Apostle Paul. Let me say that again. There's something in chapter 4 that shows you how come the Lord Jesus Christ used the Apostle Paul so that you'd get something. Look in chapter 4, verse 16. He says, at my first answer, reference to going on trial in front of Caesar, I suspect, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. And the big words there are the words fully known. And that all the Gentiles might hear. Now he just included me and you. He just put us in there. That all the Gentiles might hear. Here we are down here in Texas. We get it. Do we deserve it? No. We get it anyway? Yep. How come the Lord granted it to us? He intended to. He intended to so much that he stopped the powers that be from bringing any harm to this guy Paul, because Paul was the only one that he chose to write these words to us. He testified the gospel of the grace of God fully and completely. Now he's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's back in prison and he's going to die. Well, one of the things that he's going to die some way, I assume he got killed, but one of the things that he did is that he wrote Colossians and Philemon and Philippians and probably 1 Timothy, although I wouldn't get too adamant about that. He gets out of prison and writes Titus. But when he goes back into prison, he writes Ephesians and 2 Timothy. What would you do without Ephesians? Have y'all heard that song? It's a Christian song played on some Christian rock station, but it's also played on Southern Gospel song. That says, I'm Ephesians 1. The name of the song is I'm Ephesians 1. It's magnificent. I love that song. Even the music. It's a great song. Hey, we're all Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. We've been adopted. He's made us meet to be partaker. He's made us able to be there. All we did was trust him. He gave us everything else. He sealed us with his Spirit. He put us in a special dispensation. Good grief, we are Ephesians 1. And he's going to take us up on high, up there where above all heavens. Good grief. I wish I'd have thought of that song. I'd be a rich man. No, I mean, I'd have had a great message. It is a great song. I hope you can hear it sometime. I think they just say, I'm Ephesians 1. I think that's the name of it. Anyway, where would you be without the book of Ephesians? See, Paul had to go out of prison. He had to get thrown back into prison to write the book of Ephesians. Say, well, he could have written it. Well, evidently not. He gets back into prison, and time has gone past, and he writes the book of Ephesians, and then he can write 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And then in verse 8 he says, henceforth. That is, after that. Henceforth. Next up. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love, also that love his appearing. Well, I know the appearing he's referring to. He's referring to the appearing that got him all this revelation. So I was more than one. Okay. I love the Lord appearing to the Apostle Paul, and I don't care how many times he appeared to him to get all the revelation to him. I love the fact that the Lord had a man and gave out all this revelation so that it would get clear down here to South Texas to us. You know, one of the bits of conversation yesterday with some of the men, one of them that wanted to disagree with me about some things. I'm talking about that soiree of people that I sat down with for 3 hours. One of them said, I really love what Paul wrote about my salvation. And he said, I know when I got saved, but I also know what religion did to me for about 14 years. But he said, I really love what Paul wrote about my salvation, and I thank God for John who pointed it out to me. I know what he means. I was the same way. I was saved for 9 years because I simply asked the Lord to save me, and I believe that he did. But I loved the Lord's word explaining it to me, and I praise God that he sent E.C. Moore to Anniston, Alabama to do so. So it is. We have a marvelous word. We have a marvelous picture of God's use of us and a marvelous inheritance, even though we don't deserve it. He's not given us the spirit of fear. And he gave us a very simple way of understanding everything. And we don't have to worry about how many degrees we've got. When I asked the young man, I said, what you going to do with your degree? Right now, since he quit the Baptist church, he's a truck mechanic. I said, what are you going to do when you get your degree? He said, work on Mack trucks. That's about what they're worth. I don't care how many degrees you've got. I'm not trying to take away from your education. But ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth, I trade the truth. For all the schooling I had, I trade the truth. I take the truth. Forget the schooling. Finish it. Finish your course. Keep the faith. Fight a good fight. But finish your course. If it's 6 months, 5 years, 70 years, finish your course. Don't waver. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What are you wasting your time on now when you could be doing the work of the Lord? So I don't know what to do. Read Romans to Philemon. Consider what Paul said. He'll make you understand all things. That's what these scriptures are all about. That's what we're called upon to do. It's what we're called upon to be. Follow Paul's doctrine. Oh, wait a minute. That's next Sunday's lesson. Would you stand? Larry, would you dismiss us, please?